Different vibes, different times of the year. Beginning of Zman after Pesach, you definitely feel different vibes. Now, one might come from the fact that the yeshiva looks, by definition, a little bit older. After Pesach, okay, some guys have, you know, full werewolf beards. Others are slowly getting something back, you know, looking a little bit older. Maybe they could purchase. Nah, they wouldn't. But guys looking a little bit older. You guys are all pretty good. I saw one guy this morning. I'm like, oh gosh, she's so young. Poor guy. But anyway, Lamaisa, no one here. Lamaisa, I think there is a very special, unique vibe that comes after Pesach Ben Hazmanim. Pesach Ben Hazmanim is different than other Ben Hazmanims. You know, the summer you're off for good 6 weeks. It's a long break. You come back, it's El Zman. It's fresh, the beginning of a new year. So that's always a certain vibe. Sukkot, you come back, you barely were here, then you're off for this. Pesach, it's most of the year, is already gone. The rearview mirror. You come back, you have a nice size Ben Hazmanim. Everyone comes back from everywhere and anywhere. Some people are home, some people go away. There's so much doing Pesach Ben Hazmanim. You meet other people, see other people. There's a lot, hopefully people got inspired, people got motivated, and you come back and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm ready to learn. It's, you know, let's get at it. And that itself obviously is a very, you know, great ruch that guys should take and capitalize. And, you know, it's an easy zman. It goes basically from now till Shavuos, a few weeks after. Then, okay, we talk about summer zman, which is its own chaticha. But it's a really, really nice zman that a guy could really learn and accomplish. I remember I was in second year base medrash, and a rebbe got up at Avad and quoted the lines from the Chovos Levavos that he says, your life is like a storybook, write in it that which you want to accomplish. And yet really, like, in some ways, like, this zman could be your best zman ever. A guy who learned well before, but this could be your best zman. It's a short amount of time. You're motivated, learning, you're used to things. New chavrusas, old chavrusas, whatever it is. But guys can really accomplish. And I wanted to talk about a topic which hopefully will help guys accomplish as much as they can here in yeshiva. And I'll start with an introduction, a couple things. You know, we start after Pesach learning Pirkei Avos in general, which itself is a good limud for people to do on the side. I think Rav Volpe has a list of things that every yeshiva bachur should master. One of them on the list is Pirkei Avos with Rabbeinu Yonah. Of course, you should know Pirkei Avos with Rashi. First up, you should know Pirkei Avos. Okay, some people could quote verbatim, line for line. I actually saw this cool thing. I can't get over it. You know, I started benching now for my Hilga fig phone, because it has benching on it, and so many times you're in a place, don't have a bencher, you know. You go to a Sephardi restaurant, and they have five different versions of the Sephardi benching. Like, I want a bench. So my new go-to is I go to my fig phone, pull it up. On this particular fig phone, it's kind of a little weird stuff, like in the middle of benching. Some people add, yeah, like, harachamim for the state of Israel and the Israeli army. I don't know what in the world is doing in the nice, hey, like a fig phone. But I also, in the beginning, right before, it's a very cool thing. It has a little bit of, has a Mishnah in Avos. Each time I open my benching, as a Mishnah in Avos. For somehow, I don't know how the AI works with it, but each time I open it, it's a different Mishnah. On the beginning part of it, because obviously you're supposed to learn by every meal. It shouldn't be Zevchei Mesim. So I remember one time I had Zevchei Mesim, Shkayach, that's everything. But I looked, each time it has a different Mishnah. It's like so fast. I'm like, oh my gosh, how many times I bench, I see, you know, each time I try to look, is a different Mishnah. It's very cool. Anyway, it's very good for people to know Pirkei Avos in general, with Rabbeinu Yonah in particular. But especially, they talk about, you know, the days between now and Shavuos and Matan Torah. The sixth parak of Pirkei Avos is parak in general called Kinyanei HaTorah. And there, one of the Mishnahs, it goes through the 48 Kinyanei HaTorah, 48 different ways how a person's Kohen HaTorah. And people ask the obvious question, why do you need 48 ways to be Kohen HaTorah? And Isha is nicknamed with Shlosha Drachim. why, by Torah, is there 48 ways to be Kohen HaTorah? And all the Mefarshim explain that Torah is something which is so much deeper than anything else. It's a relationship that, by definition, the fact that you have so many kinyanim means it's a very, very deep relationship. And if you really want to connect with the Torah, then you have to connect with the Torah in 48 different ways. Every kinyan, which a lot of the kinyanim are midos related, some of them are Torah related. You have to have chavrusa, dikta chaverim, pilpul chaverim, lo abayish and lomed, all these different, there are Torah midos and hashkafos, whatever, but a lot of the 48 are midos. And what that really means is the more a person transforms himself into being a kli to be able to accept the Torah, the more the Torah is going to go into a person. So to the reverse, you know, the more a person, you know, has impediments inside of him, midos issues, hashkafa issues in him, that could keep the Torah from getting into him. I remember my shver over Yontif spoke in the kolo. He started off a little provocative. He said, if I ask you, they asked him to speak, you know, the last night of Yontif. He spoke nothing about Pesach. No, he got up there and gave Moser Shmuz after Moser Shmuz. So the first way he started, I think the some guys here in the audience that were there, but the first way he started is, okay, what's the tachlis of life? He says, okay, and don't tell me it's, you know, Torah and mitzvahs, he shlugged up from the chavos levavos. So my, he says, okay, it's to be an Eved Hashem. But if you came into this world being an Eved Hashem on this level and you return on the same level, then your life was a disaster. You didn't gain. So the tachas of life is like the Gra says, to change a person's midos. That's the tachas of chayim. So that's the definition of life. Life is not just to be an Eved Hashem, but more than that, to be an Eved Hashem, where you're changing your teva, changing your nature. And in particular, it comes to Torah, a person has to change his nature to become more connected to Torah. One particular example, the Reshiva has a shmuz, it comes up in the Chiddush Leiv and Hazinu. The Shavna HaSofer, that the Lashon the Chazal used was he was a Baal Hana. So even though he was a big Talmud Chacham, he was a Sofer, he got that title. And I'm sure he could fahir him in blot and blot of Gemara, and with tremendous Havana and Popol Sher and everything. But the fact that he was a Baal Hana, he was living it up in the bathhouses, he was enjoying himself just obviously on some dakos level, but too much. So then the Torah didn't penetrate him. He was missing one of the Kinyani HaTorah because he was a Baal Hana. And that shows how important it is for a person, the metamorphosis that which a person has when he becomes a Ben Torah doesn't just stop with your knowledge of learning. It's not a secular pursuit that now I have more knowledge and I'm therefore a, you know, a great brain. Esav was a great head, but the rest of him wasn't. A person has to transform himself, his midos, every part of him, if he wants the Torah to really impact him. He could have the knowledge, but for the Torah to really get into him, he has to have a change. And I think that's part and parcel of what yeshiva is. Yeshiva isn't just a place where you learn Torah, but it's you learn Torah in an environment which the environment is one for steiging, for growth, for change. And a yeshiva should be a place where a guy feels comfortable to change, comfortable to grow. Okay, I knew last month I did things like this, but okay, you know what? I'm growing, I'm changing, I'm doing things different. I was sitting last night by Hanan's chasna, and we had quite, I was sitting in the middle, I was sitting next to the shver. So there was like two major conversations going on at the table. On the left side, my father-in-law was next to me, so half the time it was a good conversation, the other half he was busy, whatever, learning. Then next to him was a Rabbi Shapiro. And next to him was a Rabbi Chait, Rabbi Samuel, Rabbi Glazer, a few. You know, Rabbi Shapiro, you know, where Shapiro sits usually is a matzav. So, okay, there was a matzav and stories going on that side. A lot of them old Miami stories, which I heard a few of them. Professor Shapiro visited over Yontif. But on the other side of the table was Rabbi Luban, Rabbi Minkowicz, and the famous Rabbi Moshe Winter. So I was pulled between the two conversations. I was basically playing, okay, whichever conversation's better, I'm going there. And then like Shimon Friedler and Zalman Trapp are all trying to like get in and listen, like what's going on. So the Rabbi Luban conversation was going very geschmack. A few points. In fact, like the guys came over running to me. He's like, how'd they get Rabbi Luban to sit in his seat? He's not like pacing and like running away. Luban's like sitting and schmoozing. I'm like, that's the mile of Rabbi Minkowicz. He's able to keep guys, you know. And Moshe Winter throws in a good line, you know. But we're talking about Talmidim and, you know, different generations, all different things about yeshiva. And Minkowicz had a very cool tzir. He was talking really about this idea, about a guy like being into yeshiva, understanding things versus the guy who's quote-unquote tuned out. So Minkowicz depicted, yeah, nowadays you could have a guy. He could be in the middle of the base medrash. But he's got that, you know, what do you call those things? The AirPods, you know, in his ear. He could be hundreds of people around him. But he's in a different zone, a different place. Right? We all know that to be true. Everywhere you go, right, you have an AirPod in your head, in your ear. You are where that AirPod is. And all the other surroundings are like background music, not even. You got the background music or other stuff in there. And you just tune everything else out. That, Rabbi Minkowicz said, is a metaphor for what a person could get entrapped in our generation. You could be right there in the middle of yeshiva, but you're on your AirPod. You're in a different world, a different place. And if you want Torah to penetrate, okay, you have to let Torah in. You have to be in yeshiva, not checked out, listening to something else. And I think, you know, I'll give some practical etzos on that in a moment. But as we said, yeshiva is not just about learning a good pilpul sher, learning a good sugya, mastering the second parak, wal yachbar. It's all wonderful, wonderful goals. But it's also about changing a person's self, growing. The more a person grows, the more Torah is going to be part of him. Then all that stuff is going to stick to him more. It's going to be part of him more. Versus something which is more menachutz. It's an attachment. Just, you know, you plug in, you plug out. Put it back in its case. But it's not really you. I'll tell you a story. I had this thing by my house. Right here. I was doing it for my brother-in-law, you know. My halakha brother-in-law from Eretz Yisrael of Chononia came for Yontif, for those who were zeicha to see him and his entourage around North Miami Beach and all around the place. He's quite a spectacle. And so I made a shtickle owning for him last Friday night. So he got into a lot of engaging debates, conversations with a whole slew of people. Rabbi Singer came over to me in the call the next morning, you know, Shabbos afternoon. He's like, I heard you had an unnig with your brother-in-law by your house. I'm like, how'd you hear about it? I was like already making the rounds of the neighborhood about this whole matzav that was going on. So at the oneg, he told over a story. Now, I heard the story. He told me this story beforehand with the names. So it made it all the more juicy. Names I can't give you. But my brother-in-law tells me over this story like this. And that's what he said over. Right? There are those that can verify the story. He was, you know, he was in yeshiva. I was working on a pilpul share. Yeshiva said a share. And after the share, one of the top guys in yeshiva was explaining the share a certain way and asking a strong kasha that he had in the share. So the kasha got around the base matter. She got to my brother-in-law and goes over the guy. I'll hear your kasha. What do you say? And he says, no, the Rashi was not saying this. The Rashi was saying this. And the first guy was adamant. No. She was saying it my way. And it was a bomb kasha. He's not saying like you. So, why don't we just ask him? Look, if the Rishiva is saying it like you, then he would have to be saying X, Y, and Z. These would be the nafkaminas. But if he's saying like me, the nafkamina would be A, B, and C. See how the Rishiva says it. So, the guy was so confident in himself, as of course my brother-in-law was. So he went to the Rishiva and they asked the Rishiva. And lo and behold, the Rishiva says, no, of course you can't say X, Y, and Z. Of course it's A, B, and C. And this guy was like, Nishtomim, like, oh my gosh, how could it be? Comes running to my brother-in-law, like he was shell-shocked, like the Rishiva said exactly what he said. And he was shocked. So my brother-in-law told me, I'll tell you your problem. That's what he tells him. See, when you're working on the shir, you're hearing the shir, you heard the you worked out the sugya, you have pshat in the sugya is X, Y, and Z. And then you hear the Rishiva's pshat, you fit into your bias, your X, Y, and Z, and then you have a kasha. Oh, the Rishiva doesn't make any sense. He says, I'm simple. I just listened to what the man said. And a person's biased. So everything you hear is with that filter. Look, I understand the sugya like this. If Luban's saying like this, he must mean this. That's what he means. Okay. Maybe. But maybe you're seeing it through your bias, through those glasses. Right? You get new glasses. You have to know how to see it. See what he's saying. Grada, what makes the story even scarier is when I know who the guy is. This guy is a very, very good yeshiva. He's not doing much today. He never got rid of that bias. That bias is not something which just limits a person's understanding of a shir. It limits a person's understanding of himself, of his biases, of his negias, of his weaknesses, of him being a needy person. I need this. I don't, being needy is not a milo. It's a chasaru. I could only function if I have X, Y, and Z. Well, that's the hashkafa. Is that your interpretation of the hashkafa? Where is it coming from? A bias is something which doesn't just affect your thinking, hearing things, but affects, every decision you make. Every, the most important decisions, the most important taichups is your own sugya. Who am I? Where am I holding? What's an area I need to improve on? Am I okay with this? Can I do better? Maybe the Torah is not penetrating me because of these weaknesses. It's not a weakness. Everyone else has it. How do you gauge it? A guy was hocking me about shidduchim, and this hocking, look, I grew up with a certain lifestyle. Should I dafka marry a girl who, lives the same lifestyle that I live? As an aside, I happened to make my way to, my brother-in-law wanted to go out to eat. So, okay, we went out to eat. So, Surfside's a funny place. Especially Pesach, Minasmanim. My brother-in-law was like clamoring. He's like, there was two cars in the parking lot. I could support the yeshiva for like a year with each one of those cars. It was like two Bentleys. So, I go looking at the car. And then, like, the driver comes. Okay, so who's driving this gorgeous, Bentley? Not just some Bentley, a gorgeous one. Who's driving it? The word schnook does not do justice. Mom is a teenager. Like, oh my gosh, All right, daddy's credit card. You could do a lot. Of course, the Eating by Harbor Grill. They're driving a Bentley. They got the license like a year ago, and they're driving Bentleys. But yeah, Lemaisa, like, so the guy was asking me the Shiloh. So God, I was able to push back on it. I said, "Do you know, Shiloh is okay. Do you realize if you're insisting that you need a girl that lives your standard, so you're limiting yourself. You could only date girls in a certain financial bracket. You know, would you want to limit yourself to that?" I said, you know, "Look, it depends." I asked the guy, "What's his track record?" I said, "You've been able to deal with yeshiva dorms, yeshiva food." So you're not so pampered, not so spoiled. So who said you dafka need that standard? It's nice, but. Rabbi Harris said he was Nispol, the one who inspired him when he was a bacher. Rabbi Harris grew up in Scranton, right? Bavi and Zaidi, Kanana Hara, did quite well. And okay, you know, time to live the Kola life. He said the person who inspired him the most is Rabbi Neumann. That's all. Because Rabbi Neumann, you know, was the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva in those days. They didn't get paid much at all. And, you know, he kept on doing it. Rabbi Neumann, too, came from quite a well-to-do home back in the day. But, you know, put it aside. You know, because Lemaisa, learning is more important. I was able to have that hashkafa. But I think, this concept, this idea, you know, the goal is for Torah to penetrate a person, to become part of a person, to connect with a person. So a person has to free himself from his biases, his negias, his weaknesses. You got to get over them. You got to grow. But I think the first step is just to realize and take stock in oneself that you have biases, that you have these things. I thought of a few simple etzas. Okay? Checklist, that I'm, you know, putting myself into yeshiva. I'm not tuning out yeshiva. I'm not walking around yeshiva with my AirPod, figuratively or realistically, in my time in yeshiva. You know, here's one simple one. I think everyone did quite well, besides the guy who dropped the ball. But, do I find myself, do I make it to share, do I make it to avad? Or do I, I had something else doing. I missed avad. The next madriga on the checklist is, okay, Baruch Hashem, guys have good attendance, they go to Vadim, they go to Shmuzim, they even go to the Thursday mornings, right? But when I go to a Shir Avad, how quick am I to reject the message of it? Now, you can be sophisticated. Sometimes you can reject the message of it because you had a kasha on Rabbi Palgan Shmuz. Or sometimes you can reject the message of it because you didn't like it. It didn't sit well with you. How quick are you to do that? And this Nachum Madrega, this is a hard Madrega. Listen, not so simple. Is, you know, you hear this story from Rabbi Luban for the third time. Are you still interested in hearing it? Not so simple, right? Sometimes when you hear a repeat, so okay, that you might justify that. It is good reason sometimes one might argue to tune out. But the pshat is that, look, I would say like this. I don't expect everyone to be on the Madrega that, oh, I want to hear it, a Nachla, because maybe he'll say it with a Nachla Knech I didn't hear before. Come on. But I do say it like this, the slippery slope. Once you start tuning things out, so that itself is a bad habit. If I tune it out because I heard it already, then it might be just more easy to tune it out because I don't like it, or just not show up at all. Right, just in the Gemara in Yevamos talks about a person not being mishaker, not lying. You know, even when there's good tolos, he wants to help out his father. The Gemara has a whole story over there. So the Marshal says you shouldn't do it. There's a heter to be mishaker in this case, but it's dangerous. You teach yourself a bad hergel. So similarly over here, it's not good to tune anything out in yeshiva. Right? Maybe the background noise. You know, when you want to go to sleep at night, or the guy schmoozing next to you, he's trying to learn. Okay, that type of tuning out is okay. But what I, obviously, within things which are happening, you know, whether it's by a meal, Shabbos, Vad, barbecue, whatever action there is in yeshiva, to be a part of it, to grow into it. People shouldn't let their basic instincts, their weaknesses, drive them. Should look to grow. And just like this time of year really is a time that's most mesugal for a person to grow in the 48 Kinyani HaTorah. That's what the days of Shavuos really, they say, is every day you're supposed to work on another midah and grow, okay? For us, it's probably good if we work on one midah for 48 days or whenever you get bored to switch over. But just to work and become a little bit better, a little bit nicer, a little bit unbiased goes a long way for that Torah having an exponential impact on himself. You won't just learn the Torah goes straight into your bloodstream. It'll be a stronger Torah. You won't be like Shivna HaSofer. And Be'ezus Hashem, we will all grow and look forward, whether we're in the new Beis Medrash or not, but hopefully look forward to the Yontif of Shavuos, which is the ultimate chasna, the ultimate wedding. We don't have to worry about flights, where we'll meet the Torah, connect with the Torah, and make the Torah ours.